just go, why me? And sometimes even cry out to God, you know, why me? But I want to look at another angle, and that's when something good happens. And we're, I suppose maybe it's a sign of the world we live in, that the bad things that happen outweigh the good things that happen, that we're more often saying, why me, because it's bad things, and it's not so often because of good things. But you know, I look at my life very simply, and I think I had two wonderful parents, failures by any parents, but by and large, they devoted everything they could into bringing up their children, me included, and what a wonderful blessing that is. And I think, you know, why me? When you look around you and you see all the people who don't have that, why? What's different about me that I got it and other people didn't? And I've got a wonderful family sitting here. And, you know, kids both healthy, isn't that wonderful? But you hear stories so often about, you know, the problems that people have, the disasters, the catastrophes in people's families. And I think, why me? What did I do to deserve this? And as we do, you know, with a clear mind, come and examine some of the blessings that we have in our life, and we think to ourselves, why me? You know, why me above somebody else? Did I do something to deserve all this? And then the other side of that coin is of course, as John was saying, looking at that guy on the TV, and you're thinking, why him? Very often we can sit there and go, well, maybe you're looking at me and going, why him, Lord? Exactly. Why was it not me? I have to say, I have to confess straight up, most of your why me's that you would come with, whether the why me's are from a negative situation that you've been through, going through, happened to you out of the blue, whether you are looking at your life and you're thinking of all the great blessings that you have and you're thinking, why me? Most of the time, I don't have an answer that's going to satisfy you. But what I want tonight for you to do is to hear another voice. And that's the voice that we heard in our story. Gideon, you see, he had loads of why me. His teachers read the story there from Judges chapter 6. I'm just going to go over a couple of the verses again. Just to really highlight them to you. But yeah, Gideon had his fair share of why me when the Lord appeared to him. He starts off when the angel comes to him, he says, but sir, Gideon replies, if the Lord's with us, why? And, you know, why has all this happened? When he reads off all these things about what has happened to him. So he comes with his negative why me. You know, life for the Israelites was tough at this time. The Midians were all about. You even find in the story, he's threshing wheat in the wine press. He's doing it undercover. He's hiding his wheat portion of food for his family. He's hiding it because life is too tough for them. Because the Midianites are all around and they're in charge and they're making life miserable for the Israelites. So he has all those why me's. Why is it happening, God? Then the Lord speaks to him, and then basically Gideon says, how can I save Israel? Or why me? Why did you pick me to do this? I'm not. Listen, Lord. Really, we will sit down and tell you who I am. I am the least of my whole family. And my family is the least in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And Manasseh isn't one of the greatest tribes in the world. You should know this, God. You've made a mistake. Why me? How can I do this? So he has the why me's on both sides. He has the why me's of why is all this terrible stuff happening? And then when the Lord wants him to do something, he's saying, why have you chosen me? I'm not worthy of it. There's better people in Israel to do your job than me. There's better people at being leaders than me. There's better people, there's more faithful people in Israel than me, Lord. Why me? So, what is God's answer to all Gideon's questions? Does God sit down and say, okay, Gideon, here's my detailed reply to all your why me. Here's the detailed explanation of why this is all happening. No, he doesn't. So does he give You know the 10 top reasons why this is happening? No, he doesn't. Does he try to justify what's going on in his life, in Gideon's life? No, God doesn't. And then when Gideon's coming and saying, you know, why Lord, are you choosing me to do this job? Does he explain to Gideon his 10-step action plan as to how he's going to be transformed into this great leader? No. He doesn't justify it at all. In fact, when you read the conversation between the two, it's almost like they're speaking different languages and they haven't heard what the other one said. Essentially, God, if this was two human beings having a conversation, you would say that the one is sort of speaking and we're Gideon. He's not really listening to anything that Gideon's saying. Because he's not answering any of his questions. He just keeps speaking of his own accord and of what he wants to say. But of course, it's not two human beings here speaking. This is the Lord speaking to Gideon. And the point I'm trying to make from this is, when we come with all our why me's, whether we come from the why me's of the disasters that are happening, or whether it's we look at our life and go, why am I getting this blessing when there's so many millions? Why have I got food? Why did I have food today, Lord? And yet there's millions upon millions of people who don't have food for any of their family. Why me? I don't want you to be searching for the answer. I want you to hear above your questions the voice of God speaking. Because that was what was essential in the conversation between Gideon and God. It wasn't what Gideon was saying. It was what God was saying. The eternal God. The God who was before creation. The God who will be after when time ends. It is what he says that matters. And we've got to let his voice drown out what we are thinking and the questions that we come with. Basically, God says, this is what I am saying. And what does he say? Well, the first thing he says is, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. That's not how Gideon felt, but that is what God called him. Then in verse 14, the Lord turned to him, this is just after all his, why has all this happened to me? The Lord replies, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? He doesn't address any of his questions, but tells him what to do. And tells him, I, the God of heaven, am sending you to save Israel out of the problem that she's in. What does he say then down in verse 16? After he said, you know, why have you chosen me? The Lord answered, I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites. I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites together. He does not answer Gideon's question, but rather he tells Gideon how it's going to be. He says what they are going to do together. Well, I don't know what position we're in tonight. I don't know what position anyone's in tonight. We all look quite happy with quite a few smiley faces. Don't think anyone's nodding off just yet. As you say, a few heads on a Sunday evening start to drop. But I don't know what voices are going on in your minds and in your heads. But tonight I want us all to hear the voice of God over them all. Over all those questions and queries and doubts, John started off the whole thing by saying we mustn't seek for all the understanding first before we put our faith in God. Rather, we put our faith in God, and then as God chooses, he shows us understanding. So I don't want those questions in your mind to overrule what God is saying tonight. Maybe like Gideon, you feel as if you've been deserted by God, and the plight that you're going through. Maybe there's been horrors in your life, maybe long past, or maybe even you're going through them still. And you feel as though God is distant. God has no interest in what is going on, and you just want to say to him, if you have him standing there, like Gideon, you just want to spill out the, why is all this happening to glory. Maybe you've faced many disappointments on the journey. Maybe you've faced disappointments even in church before. And you're fed up to the back teeth of Christians and all of them are harping on about God. Well, I want you to hear the voice of God tonight. And maybe like Gideon, you have those 101 wives that you want to bombard him with. Well, it's quite all right to have them. It's just natural. We're all humans and those questions always come to us. But there's times where we just got to listen to what God says. I really like Gideon, and this isn't an unnatural feeling either. You feel completely unworthy that God would speak to you, or that God would appear to you, or that God is remotely interested in you. Maybe you would just like to hide from God. Maybe you don't even think you're worthy of God to offer you anything tonight. Maybe it's from past experience. Maybe in your entire life, no one has offered you anything without wanting twice as much in return. Maybe you've never experienced mercy before in your life. You've never experienced grace before. And why, oh why, would the God of all creation want to offer something to you? Because you're not worthy. You don't feel worthy. Maybe like Gideon, you think, but Lord, there's better people doing this than me. There's all those good people. Why don't you speak to them? They're the ones who use you. They didn't make a great job of being Christian. I would be a hopeless Christian. Why me? Well, tonight it's important that you, just like Gideon, and please go home. That's Judges chapter 6. We had started reading from the story of Gideon. Read through the next few chapters and find the wonderful things that God does through Gideon. And it's the same for us, just like Gideon. God has a plan for us. He wants to do good and not evil. He wants to build us up, not tear us down. You, no matter how you feel, no matter what questions you've got, no matter what you think about God, no matter what judgments were going through your mind when we were singing, or when John was speaking, or while I am speaking. We were singing, the kids were singing this morning, and it was a beautiful song, and it's just stayed with me all day. You know, whether I'm happy, or, oh, help me, even when I'm happy, what?
Or sad.
Even when I'm happy or sad, God loves you. I'm going to make a mess of this. Yeah, I should never try quoting anything that's not in my notes. Let me tell you the gist of it. Well, here's the gist of it. Doesn't matter whether I'm happy, doesn't matter whether I'm sad, doesn't matter whether I'm good, and it doesn't matter whether I'm bad. Keith, could you remind us of the gist? It's amazing, amazing words. We have never encountered anybody that treats us that way before. It doesn't matter what mood I'm in. It doesn't matter what I've done. God loves me anyway. What? Can't even remember why I was telling you that. It's so important to let the Word of God shine through in the midst of all our doubts and questions. I'm going to read probably the most famous verse in Northern Ireland. I don't know whether it's the same all over the world or whether John 3:16 is the sort of most quoted verse, but certainly Northern Ireland, it grabs the prize. For God so loved the world. And it's such a cliche thing to do. But I think since tonight we're talking about a very personal thing, and Gideon's call was a very personal call. God was talking to Gideon. He wasn't talking to a whole big group of people and everyone took it for themselves. He was talking very privately and specifically to Gideon. So I don't think it's an overuse, it's a cliche to put your name in there. For God so loved Dave, my name. You put yours in. And I know you've heard preachers say that 100 times before. But as we realize, for God so loved Dave. And maybe my head's going, you know, why has this happened in my life? Why is my life looking in such an awful state? And what I need to hear is not an answer to that question, like Gideon. I need to hear, for God so loved David, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let the words of John 3:16, and I know we all know them off by heart, let it drown out all our questions, all our why me's. And like Gideon, all we have to do is say yes to him. Now, Gideon wasn't really that quick in saying yes. He had quite natural doubts at first. He wasn't quite sure that this was really God speaking to him. I think he felt so unworthy of God. But he really just wanted to know for sure that this definitely was God. And it took him a while to be convinced, but he was convinced. It's funny, we're left with a completely new why me. And I don't think I've ever met a Christian who hasn't at one point, you know, as they have been overwhelmed with just how great God is. And the thing is about all people who come to God, no one comes to God worthy. We all come like Gideon. We all say to God, God, you're not the way I am. You don't want me. But God said, yes, I do want you. And I'm going to do mighty things in your life. And as time goes on, we just sit back from time to time and think, Lord, why I didn't do anything to deserve this? It's like the person in the world, they all, you know, when you hear somebody, they win the lottery. They don't just win the lottery, they win it twice. And so lots of these other things happen to them. Well, forget all that. That's nothing compared to what happens to us as a Christian. And I think, I'm hoping you can speak to anyone. If you're not a Christian and you know Christians who are here, do speak to them and ask them, is what he says true? Is it really that good? Does God really overwhelm you in your life? Do you really, have you let his voice drown out all your questions? Does he really come through? And I think every Christian here, they'll tell you life's tough. They'll not say any of their problems got any easier. They'll not say that they didn't have as many why me's at the end as they did when they started. But they will say, they will vouch for God and his faithfulness to us, and the wonders of his salvation. So hopefully tonight you can allow the voice of God to drown out all your questions, just like Gideon. And then you can experience, just like Gideon, what God is capable of doing. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you and praise you for being such a wonderful God. And why don't you go furnish us with all the answers to all our questions. Lord, one thing is for sure, we will always find you faithful to what you do say. And Lord, you tell us that you loved us so that you sent your one and only Son so that we might not